Owing to this feature of their strange psyche, another very peculiar psychoorganic need has been formed in them during the last 20 centuries. The chief manifestation of this psychoorganic need of theirs consists in this, that each of them feels absolutely obliged, as they say, to teach others sense, or to put them on the right road. Do you know, my boy, in speaking of this unusual feature of their character, inherent in all of them without exception, it occurs to me that it would be desirable at this point to give you some advice about their strange psyche, like that which our good old Ahun gave you at the end of my explanations of their famous contemporary terrestrial art. He advised you, among other things, that if for some reason or other you should happen to exist on the planet Earth and mix with those strange three-brained beings, you should always be very careful with the contemporary types who are representatives of art, in order not to offend them and make mortal enemies of them. At that time, our dear Ahun, having in mind their numerous weaknesses, such as self-love, pride, vanity, and many others, indicated to you just which of these specific properties it was necessary to tickle, as he expressed it, in each case. He even explained to you in detail how to speak to them and what had to be said so that they would always be well disposed toward you and always and everywhere praise you and say nothing but good about you. I have nothing against this advice of his. It cannot be denied that it is ideal for the types he mentioned. The contemporary representatives of art are indeed amply provided with the specific properties enumerated by our dear Ahun. And if you know how to tickle these properties on every possible occasion, they will indeed adore you and behave towards you like true Asklayan slaves. But although this advice of his is excellent and even indispensable for those who wish to exist among them, I personally do not consider it practical for you. First, because not all the beings of the earth are representatives of art, and this advice does not apply to all of them without exception. And second, because it would be irksome for you to have to remember all these numerous properties and to stop each time and think which of these numerous weaknesses must be tickled and on which occasion. So I wish to point out to you one great secret of their psyche. That is, one property of theirs, which, if you know how to make use of it, will produce in each of them the manifestation that Ahun was speaking of. If you act upon them by means of this property, not only will you be on very good terms with all of them, but if you wish, thanks to this secret of their psyche, you will even be able fully to ensure your happy and peaceful existence, both as regards money, which is a necessity there, and other conveniences whose taste and blissful significance our dear teacher expresses by the words, a bed of roses. No doubt, my boy, you have already guessed that the secret I am referring to is this psycho-organic need of theirs to teach others sense and to put them on the right road. This specific property formed in their psyche, thanks as always to the abnormally established conditions of ordinary being existence, inevitably becomes, as it were, an integral part of their presence when they reach responsible age. Everyone there, without exception, has this psycho-organic need. Old and young, men and women, and even those they call misbegotten. This singular need arises in its turn from another property of theirs, which is that each of them, from the moment he acquires the capacity to distinguish wet from dry, carried away by this achievement, ceases forever to see and observe his own abnormalities and defects, but only sees and observes these same abnormalities and defects in others. At the present time, it has become customary there for every one of your favorites to teach others like himself things that he hasn't the faintest idea about, even in his dreams. And the joke of it is that if others do not listen to him, or at least do not pretend that they are listening to him, he is not only offended, but even inwardly, sincerely indignant. On the other hand, if others should learn sense from him, or at least pretend that they are very eager to do so, he will not only love and respect them, but will himself be filled with satisfaction and delight. And it is only in these circumstances that your favorites can speak about others without hate or criticism. And so, my boy, I strongly advise you that if for any reason you have to exist among them, always pretend that you wish to learn something from them. Act in the same way toward their children, and you will then not only be on excellent terms with them all, but the whole family will look on you as the most honored friend of the house. Always remember that because of the self-conceit flowing from this particular property, any one of them, however insignificant he may be in essence, looks down with contempt upon the attitudes and conduct of others, especially if their attitudes and conduct sharply contradicts his own subjective views. And in these cases, as I have just said, he usually becomes inwardly sincerely offended and indignant. I might as well remark here that this property of your favorites, of always growing indignant at the defect of others around them, makes their own existence, already wretched and abnormal without this, objectively unbearable. Because of this constant indignation, the ordinary being existence of these unfortunates almost always flows, accompanied by unproductive moral sufferings. And these futile moral sufferings of theirs usually continue by momentum to act for a long time on their psyche, sem sectionale, or as they would say on your planet, oppressively. In other words, they ultimately become instuarnian or nervous, of course without the participation of their consciousness. And then, in the process of their ordinary being existence, they become completely uncontrolled, even in the being manifestations which have nothing to do with the primary causes of the instuarness or nervousness of theirs. And it is just this property of being indignant at the defects of others that has gradually made their existence arch-tragicomic. For instance, at every step there, you can see a picture of this sort. One of these freaks, having lost the only thing they acquire from their maleficent education, which they call a mask, behind which they cunningly hide from others their obvious inner and outer defects, has fallen, as they say, completely under somebody's thumb. Well then, this being who is under the thumb of his wife or his mistress, or of somebody else who has ferreted out his inner insignificance and has become the slave of one of these patrons to the point of humiliation, waxes more indignant than anyone if some king, for some reason or other, is unable to keep tens or hundreds of thousands of his subjects under control. And oddly enough, it is precisely such terrestrial humbugs under somebody's thumb who usually write all sorts of manuals expounding in detail what must be done to govern others well. Or again, if one of these contemporary beings, whose heart always sinks into his boots when a mouse runs past him, learns that so-and-so was a bit scared on meeting a tiger, This hero will be filled with indignation against him and, foaming at the mouth, will not fail to denounce him to his friends, proving that he is a criminal coward for having been frightened by a mere tiger. And here again, the various books and manuals concerning what must be done and how, and what must not be done on meeting a tiger or other such being, are written by these mouse-flinching heroes. Or further, one of these beings who has collected a score of chronic diseases so that his stomach does not work for weeks at a stretch, and his whole body is covered with every kind of loathsome pimple, from all of which he naturally suffers day and night. In short, a being who for many years has been a genuine walking anatomical museum of all the diseases existing on that planet, is always more indignant than anyone else when someone is careless enough to catch, let us say, a cold in the head. And these walking anatomical museums invariably instruct others with great authority on how to get rid of such a cold. And it is they who write all sorts of books and manuals on the multitude of diseases there and expound in minute detail their prevention and cure. At every step, one can observe an absurdity of this kind. One of them who does not have the slightest idea what the ordinary tiny being called flea, which often bites him, really looks like, writes a huge volume or organizes public lectures, as they are called, to explain that the flea, whose bite caused a swelling on the neck of a certain king, known in history as King Naukhan, had on its left paw an abnormal orange-crimson growth of a very odd form.